Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Ravin Jeyasuthasan. He's a global thought leader, futurist, and author of The Future of Work, Automation, and Human Capital. Ravin, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Chris. So lovely to be here with you.
I really would love our guests to know, because I asked you about your name and ethnicity. I'm just curious about culture. And you shared something about your last name, which I thought was so beautiful, profound, and unique. Would you mind sharing that with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely, Christopher. So my ethnicity, I'm ethnic Sri Lankan. I was born in Malaysia. I spent many years in the UK and have lived in the United States for, you know, coming on 30 years now. But my last name, Jeyasuthasan, is a quote-unquote manufactured name in that it is the name my great-grandfather took on when he became a Christian. And what it means is servant of Jesus.
That's amazing. One of the things I always talk about in terms of how do you stand out as a speaker, a coach, or entrepreneur is you can use anything that stands out, including your name. So in your case, it's a you call manufactured or created, it's by Jesus, but even in my name Christopher, it's the most generic name, but I talk about Saint Christopher and how he's the patron saint of transportation and how he used to carry people along the Raging River, and ultimately he would carry this baby across the river and he almost died because he felt the weight of the world. He gets to the other side, puts the baby down, and like, what's going on? And it turns out to be that is baby Jesus reincarnated, and his name Christopher means he's bearing the burden of Christ. Now, I share this story with the listeners so that whether in your case, your name is so unique, or in my case, my name doesn't sound unique, but if you make it unique by sharing a story, then you'll be unique. Because unfortunately, a lot of people don't stand out and don't share the story well, and I want to help people share the story, which is why this podcast literally is called the Gifters Podcast. Now, in your case, Ravin, what compelled, inspired, or motivated you to get into this world of the future of work? Because again, it's forward thinking. So what inspired you to get into that world?
Yeah, you know, Christopher, that's a great question. So a bit about my background. I'm a retreaded finance guy. You know, that was my training. I used to be a strategy consultant. And then about 25 years ago, I moved into the world of work and human capital. And the thing to me that has always been a bit of a driving force is using my background in analytics and data and finance, which I loved learning, and applying it to the way organizations think about that most complex of resources at their disposal, their people. And so I've written three books, soon to be four, on the future of work. And the thing to me that has always kept me coming back is how rapidly the world around us is changing and how rapidly work itself is changing. And the very significant challenge and opportunity it presents for us as a global society. And so the opportunity to bring some science and analytics to what can be viewed as a very soft and squishy topic is really what gets me motivated and up in the morning.
So let's talk about the future of work, because when you look at, let's say, these McKinsey reports, they talk about how there's going to be hundreds of millions of jobs, they're going to be automated away. You talk about AI, you have total robotics, you talk about all these different things, right? But from the most basic thing, let's say most Americans, when Andrew Yang, who's running for president at one point, said, the reason why Donald Trump won was not for this or that, it's really because, you know, X amount of jobs were automated away. So not getting political, but I'm just saying, he mentioned technology. So I'm curious, if someone wants to have a potential future, what are do you feel are some of the skills they need to actually be competitive or just be employable in this future? Because again, future of work is so broad, right? Yeah, but I want to, like, if you're talking to a 25-year-old millennial who doesn't have a job, what do you tell him or her about skills they can learn to be employable in the next 10 years?
Yeah. So it's a great question, Andrew. I want to just maybe take a step back and address something you said a second ago about all of this data, right? So there are basically kind of two schools of thought. One is a belief that over time, all human work will become obsolete because of the advances in artificial intelligence and robotics. Ultimately, we will be left to be just consumers of output. And that's the argument for universal basic income. Andrew and I have exchanged some text messages and on Twitter and the like And I do think certain industries will see a lot of dislocation, as Andrew talks about. So universal basic income has a place. I think the other point where you were headed about skills is absolutely spot on, because a lot of work is going to get reinvented. You know, and what we're going to see is there are three things that happen when automation plays out. Because automation doesn't kill jobs. What it does is it substitutes certain highly repetitive rules-based work. And, you know, not to be too cute about it, the dull, the dirty, and the dangerous are most at risk. It
augments. Can you say that again? I don't want to go over that. Can you explain that? Yeah.
Yeah. So work that is dull, i.e. very repetitive.
Oh, dull. Okay. Yeah.
Dirty, where, you know, people are getting dirty and doing things that we don't like to do generally because it's manual and it's arduous, et cetera, or dangerous, where the likelihood of losing life and limb in the performance of the work. Those are the three categories that are most often targeted, a substitution by automation. And it's where automation actually has a competitive advantage over us humans. So if you're in one of those jobs, bunch of your work involves tasks like that, you ought to be looking at upskilling or reskilling yourself. The second category is work, and this is far more, much bigger than most people talk about, is where automation and technology augments the work of a human. So if you think of technology that makes a trader superhuman, technology that makes a salesperson far more productive because it's now helping her make more informed decisions and engaging differently with some real insight about her customers. And then the other thing that technology does is that it actually creates new work. If you look at the rapid proliferation and demand for data scientists and AI developers, it's because we have the tools and the technology that are making AI so prolific. So I think a key part of this is to figure out, you know, which of those three outcomes is happening to your body of work.
Yeah, again, Robin, I mean, you have such a macro scale understanding. We talked about Davos, which is one of the premier events in the world where thought leaders and business owners go to and heads of states. But again, there's so many millions of Americans, people around the world that they're not technology driven. They're not aware of that. So I'm curious, what do you say to someone like that? Where, because even in the US, there's only about 30% of people that have a college degree. So it goes back to my other question about skills. I mean, if the skills you're talking about is about AI, I mean, those are all science-based. I frankly wouldn't even do it myself. And I consider myself fairly educated, but what do you suggest for people that, let's say, to keep this the question really specific, because I really admire your insights. For those who are not the most educated people, and it doesn't mean they're not educated, meaning as a person, but from at least the institutional education, like they're not college educated people, what kind of jobs do you think that they would have in terms of the future?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a massive premium placed on work that involves human empathy, human connection. So think of care type work where we are taking away a lot of the technical and analytical things because those things can be automated and freeing up a human being to take on more care-related work, customer care work that involves, you know, people interacting with each other, where you can demonstrate curiosity, empathy, truly human skills. I do think we're going to see a lot more of that sort of work get created. And so I think for people who are looking to stay relevant, right, as work is changing, I would have two words of advice. One is figure out what are the truly human aspects of work, because those are the things that are going to be the most resilient to automation. A second, and this I think is unfortunately very true, Andrew. I'm thinking of Andrew Yang, Christopher, because something Andrew Yang said about, you know, why automation is so prolific is that the half-life of skills, you know, the amount of time where I can practice a skill that I've gained is shrinking dramatically. So if I got an accounting degree, I can't count on it for 30 years. I may only be able to count on it for 10 years before I need to reskill. And that brings me to my second key attribute for people is you have to be incredibly curious and want to keep learning. You know, the ability to learn how to learn is probably going to be the most profound skill, the most in-demand skill for each of us.
Yeah. You're one of the few people, Robin, that I've spoken to, again, who have this understanding of life on a macro level. But when you said this whole having that human empathy, which is EQ, that is so profound, because whether in the US population where everyone's getting older, and so you have all these assisted living situations and nurses, they're all trending upward relative to the demand. So that I love that, because it's a very practical, specific point where for those who are listening that might not be the most tech savvy person, because I definitely am not, but if you are an empathetic person, that's a great avenue and direction to consider focusing on, because that's not going to ever go away, because we're all human beings. So Robin, thank you so much for being on our podcast. How can our guests connect with you and stay in touch with you?
So I'm on LinkedIn as well as Twitter at Robin J. Suthasan, and my website is robinjsuthasan.com.
Awesome. Robin, thank you so much for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.